Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. One of the values of the study of the Old Testament is to learn the unfolding of God's eternal purposes. We can also observe principles of God's dealings with man that transgress dispensational lines. In seeing the record of the Old Testament, we can better appreciate the truth of the New Testament. But in addition to all of this, there is the benefit of feeding on the rich spiritual message found therein. In Psalm 84, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." The book of Psalms is a book of spiritual revelation. It is a book of beauty. The words are majestically religious with a treasure of soul-stirring messages and passages. Little wonder it is the favorite book of so many people with favorite verses therein. It provides a wealthy reserve of divine strength and is deserving of our serious meditation. Now, we believe that most of the Psalms were written by David, but certainly not all. And we're not able to determine exactly who is the author of each one at all times. But that is of no real consequence, since all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now, this 84th Psalm, it seems to have been written by one who had been deprived entrance into the house of the Lord, at least temporarily. The psalmist leaves the impression that he had been absent from public worship and was longing for communion with the Lord. And he shows his love for the house of God in three verses. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God." The psalmist shows the happiness of those who continue in the assembly for worship in verses 4 through 7. He said, "Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, and they will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. A rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God." Now the psalmist mentioned the valley of Baca. That was a valley through which travelers passed as they came toward Jerusalem to worship. And they were made happy and blessed by the refreshing waters that were there in anticipation of the worship of God. In verses 8 and 9, they're almost an outburst of joy from a longing soul. Listen to them. "O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed." As we all know, there's quite a disposition difference in people. Some are much freer to express outwardly their emotions than others. But should we not all strive to cultivate our emotions to respond to that which is high and holy and good, whether we do so outwardly or inwardly? Everyone possesses an emotional nature, and some emotions are common to all of us. But some should be cultivated while others need to be culled from our character. They're the emotions of hate and envy and jealousy, conditions of the heart that are not to be cultivated but are to be uprooted as weeds from a bed of lovely flowers, to be cast out and to be burned. And on the other hand, there is love and sympathy and joy. These should be cultivated, for they are as the flowers and the emotions of goodness. The psalmist knew what it meant to be in God's service, and consequently he was capable of knowing the joy and the radiance to be found when in his service. He had grown to appreciate the privilege of worship. Notice what he says, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand." Better than a thousand what? Better than a thousand days elsewhere. This is the outcry of one who loved to worship God. One day in that special presence of God was considered better than all other days spent doing anything else anywhere else. Such devotion and loyalty to the praise of God is seldom found in the hearts of mankind. And what a contrast to some today who evidently consider even 1 hour too much to be involved in worship to God. Who among us looks with admiration and appreciation for the time of worship as did this psalmist? Was he unreasonable? Was he fanatical? Or was he one who loved the Lord with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength? Dear listening friend, what is it in your life that is dearer to you than serving God in periods of worship? Would the psalmist ever be such a person that would ask such a question as, "Do I have to attend on Sunday night?" Notice he said, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." He had not worldly ambitions for wealth and power and fame and fortune. He would not go the ways of sin to get gain that this world offers. He preferred the company of God than all the gaiety and pleasures and feasts and frolics and foolishness that this life can give. He did not seek to be big brother of prominence. He was humbly grateful to serve, even in the lowliest ways, as a doorkeeper. Some folks just will not cooperate or do anything unless they have the chief seats and are the most recognized. But when the psalmist came for worship, he came to adore the Lord, not seek himself or the admiration from his fellows. He came for the spiritual stimulation and uplifting that follows true and sincere worship. He did not come just to feel good about himself. He wanted to be in God's house because God was there. His attitude toward God is what made him have this devotion to God. He said, "For the Lord is a sun." That is, the Lord was his source of light, his source of guidance, his source of warmth. Some do not really want to worship God because God is not their guide. At best, God is allowed to be a part-time guide, and only then when it's convenient with other plans and ambitions if they don't interfere. But God was the source of spiritual light to this inspired writer. And as the moon and the stars derive their radiance from the sun, so that which is good derives its beauty and goodness from God, called the sun. And the psalmist also calls God a shield. The Lord was his protector and his defense. It was evident to him that the Lord cares for his own. Hebrews 13:6 tells us, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me." And again Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 31, "If the Lord is for us, who can stand against us?" You see, friend, our God is greater than all of our enemies. Furthermore, the Lord will give grace and glory, the psalmist said. God extends to his people unmerited favor, and when that favor is seized by obedience to the gospel, God purifies the soul from sin. He pardons iniquities, and in a redeemed state we are glorified, and we shall be glorified when the Lord comes again. James said that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift, James 1 and verse 17. In Psalm 84 it is stated, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And we must take note of the conditional nature of this assurance of receiving good things. It is given to those who walk uprightly, which means an active obedience on the part of man. There is that which man must do. All these benefits are extended to whosoever will, but they are going to be enjoyed only by those who live the kind of life that God wants mankind to live. To walk uprightly means to walk according to the truth with sincerity. Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called," Ephesians 4 and verse 1. And again he said, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing," Colossians 1 and verse 10. That means to walk worthily before the Lord, pleasing the Lord in all the things that you do. In these passages, he has reference to one's manner of life and to his style of behavior. Each of us will dwell or will live in some fashion, whether it be with the Lord or whether it be separated from the Lord. And the writings of this 84th Psalm encourage us to dwell with God and to be a worshiping servant of God, living a life that is pleasing to God and receiving the blessings that are given by God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.